And our faith is a really earthy faith, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You know, it's not a Gnostic faith. It's not a super spiritual for the sake of super spiritual faith. And yet at the same time, there's mystery. So we always need to realise that. And I'm stating the obvious, aren't I? But we got to understand that. If we're not, somebody once said, if you're describing God really clearly, you're probably not talking about God. You know, because there is always going to be mystery. But that is not a, that's the catch-all excuse. That's a human way of looking at it. It's always going to entail mystery because God is God. We're the subjects. He's the creator. And so there's always going to be mystery. That's why Isaiah actually says, your ways are far above my ways. You know, my thoughts are above your thoughts. He's just stating the obvious. And so we need to understand that. Whenever we talk about spiritual things, whenever we talk about even the gritty everydayness of our faith, and that's what our faith should be, by the way, gritty and everyday. Because that's where we live. We live in a day-by-day existence. And all too often, we try to make it something it's not. That's this idea of, everything's going to be okay when we're in this disembodied kind of state. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm wacky. I'm as weird as you'll find. You know, seriously, I've got a reputation, haven't I, of being, what was it, the weeping prophet. That's what I was told. Whereas John's just the prophet. And last time I spoke, I was also given the epithet, what was it? Father Chiz or something, did you say, Phil, at the end there? So I'm both old and profoundly wise. So before we begin, I just wanted to play a 2-minute video. Well, it's not before we begin, it's as we've begun, to talk about the spirit and this life, this inner life. Need to put the volume up, I know, because he's a bit hard to hear. But anyway, let's play the video. Sorry, Rob.
What's the Holy Spirit? What's the goal of the Holy Spirit?
Well, we call it Holy Spirit, the Lord and the Life Giver, according to the Nicene Creed. The Holy Spirit, if you ask people when they last felt the Holy Spirit, they would say in church music or in a church. But if you ask them, when did you last feel the spirit of life? Then they say, the last morning, when I stood up, I felt the spirit of life. And therefore I preferred to write a book not on the Holy Spirit, but on the spirit of life.
Who gets in on that spirit? Where is it? How do you activate it? A pill? Can you take a pill? Pharmaceutical companies have it?
You are typical American. What can I do? Don't do anything. Wait on the Spirit, and the Spirit will come. As a wind, you cannot order the wind to come. The wind comes and lets you touch with the wind of the Spirit.
Jürgen Moltmann. I like that, eh? He says it's so American. But he could say it so Australian. He could say it so Protestant work ethic, you know. What do we do? What do we do? What is it? A plus B equals C? What is it? 1 plus 1 equals 2? Give me the formula. Give me something certain. I'll be able to put it into practice and then I'll be able to be a really good disciple. Now the desire there is awesome. It's fantastic. But the God that we know, the God who calls deep to deep, is not a maths formula. Philip Baker used to say he's more a song than he is a maths formula. And I quite like that because of the metaphor he's trying to get at is that we're talking about the Spirit of life, the Spirit who made life, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Spirit that was brooding in Genesis 1 over the face of the deep, the Spirit who was there when God said, "Let there be light," because he is God. So the Spirit of life, not the Spirit who works according to the principles that we have decided he works to. That's why it's deep calls to deep. Let me, having said that, let me read this marvellous part of Psalm 91. He who lives in the shelter of the Most High, who lodges under the shadow of the Almighty, says of the Lord, "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I put my trust." Well, that's probably the key question that I'm thinking about is, who am I going to put my trust in? Who am I going to put my trust in? Where is my trust going to lie? I, to be honest with you, this formulaic brand of Christianity, which I think we have sometimes all fallen into, it just doesn't help when it comes to the Spirit of the living God. If we think for a moment that he's going to jump because we say jump, it's just not going to happen. What the Scripture tells us to do is trust. Trust. Let your life be a life of trusting him. Faith's another word that's really similar to that word trust. To actually trust in him. And that means absolute dependence. That's what that means. Oh, we're so independent today, aren't we? We can be so independent. We want to be so independent. And you know, I understand that because I'm a little bit like that myself, and so are you. And we are wired internally to be able to get stuff done. Would you agree? That's not bad, right? It's not a bad thing. But in the first instance, when we're in relationship with God, in the very first instance, we're dependent on God. If we're in relationship with him, we're dependent on him. It's really important to know that. It's really important to embrace that because we live in a society that is absolutely all about autonomous reason and independence, doing our things our way. And where did that come from? A brief history lesson, not a theological thing, but there's theology in it. But the brief history lesson is, and I've said this before, I know, but the Enlightenment, the 1700s, was the time when Western society, where you and I come from, broke from the classical understanding of trust and faith, of being dependent upon God. It broke from that through the whole of that 100 and 150 years. And then Immanuel Kant, at the end of that 18th century, of the 1700s, in paraphrase, said, we have broken the chains of oppression that have come from following this dependence mentality. We're autonomous. That's where autonomous reason comes from. We are ourselves. We can use our reason. We can do stuff that no other societies have. At any rate, it carries on then all the way through to today. And if there is anything that I'm passionate about, it is that we need to come back to being absolutely dependent upon God and not ourselves. It's not all about what we can do. We can do stuff, but in the first instance, we're dependent. Why am I going on about that? Because we're talking about the inner life. We're talking about how do we have a deeper livingness in Christ? How do we do that? Well, a baseline for me is to recognize that we're talking about the Spirit of life. The Spirit who's the Creator, who we are completely dependent upon. That's good news. That's awesome. That's fantastic. That means that it's not dependent on us. How great is that? Well, I don't know about you, but I think that's really great because I have good days and bad days. I have a number of bad days. Weeping prophets do. We have bad days. We weep a lot and profit. You know, so if we start relying on, I'm trying to think of some other funny things to say about that, son, but I just can't think of any at the moment. Give me a minute. You know, seriously, I think that's fantastic. And I know on the one hand we go, oh, awesome, that's right, because we're talking about the awesome God. And so, yes, we're dependent on him. And then we go about living like he isn't even in the mix. Because we're supposed to do it all ourselves, don't we? We're going to make things happen. Well, by all means, make things happen. But we do it in the context of, I am nobody except for Jesus Christ. I've had to learn, that. I was in my 20s once. I knew everything. I was talking to somebody earlier, actually, who was going to Rhema Christian Academy. Back in the day, you don't have to know about it. Most of you weren't born then. But I remember being there. I remember being part of the whole health and wealth gospel thing. I remember that we're going to save the world, change the world. We're going to do everything that needs to be done. And somehow, if I say it, that settles it. If I say it, it comes into pass because I have the creative power of God in me and all that stuff. And I'm not saying it's all bad. You've misunderstood me if you think I'm saying it's all bad. But I'm saying when it comes from, I have the Spirit of God, I'm not dependent anymore. The Spirit of God then becomes an agent by which I achieve. And we've got to be really careful. We've got to be really careful. Daily, Jesus says in Luke 9:23, if anyone's going to follow me, he's going to have to renounce self, take up your cross daily and follow me. Renounce self, take up the cross daily and follow me. In other words, recognize on a daily basis that I'm absolutely dependent. It's a stance. It's a way of living. It's not a set of principles. It's a relationship. I love that song, I'm a Good, Good Father. Excuse me. Had this flu for about 11 years now, like all, you know, half of us. And now the front row. So sorry about that. But you know, he's a good, good father. It's like being with this great, big, beautiful dad. You know, I've got three sons and I just love them so much. And there's this thing that happens when they're little particularly. But it never stops. When they're little, they're dependent, aren't they? Those of you who have kids, you know that. Those of you who were kids, you know that. There's this time when you're dependent, completely dependent. That's the baseline. And then, yeah, you grow. But that never goes away. You become an independent person. But you never leave this deep, resonant relationship that gave you life. Am I making some sense with that? That metaphor doesn't fully do it, I know that, because there is mystery here. Our earthly father is not the heavenly father. He's not God. I'm not God. I am an approximation in some ways at some times of the Father. But there is a Father and there is mystery, yes. But it's this dependence that we have to come from. I love this. This is Robin Myers, who wrote a book recently called The Underground Church. I really like it. Trust is the relentless posture of leaning towards God as if you will fall into God's arms one way or another. I really like that. The relentless posture of leaning towards God as if we will fall into God's arms one way or another. I emailed Robin this week. He's got about 50 PhDs and he's a pastor of some big church in America, academic, teaches at Princeton and all these other places, right? And I thought, you know what, I'm going to email him. I'm going to say, gosh, that's beautiful. And by the way, I'm doing a PhD and I wouldn't mind some advice about this, right? So this dude, almost immediately, I apologise for, you know, breaking into his life, almost immediately he just emails back and says, don't apologise for a moment. How lovely it is to hear from you. Thanks so much for what you said. Here's some ideas. And I thought, you know, there's this attitude, there's this stance. It's not a I've got it all kind of a stance that I just think is brilliant. So I love that. If I was going to give myself advice, that's the advice I'd give myself. Because you see, the thing is, we have got the idea that there's this set of principles and if we just did all this stuff, even the disciplines end up like this if we're not careful. You know, the spiritual disciplines are beautiful, right? They're beautiful. They really are. But they can also end up just being a set of stuff we do so that we can go deeper. You know, in Dallas Willard, if he was here, I reckon would be going, that's awesome, Chiz, keep saying that. You know, because his stuff is about, yeah, there's these principles, but they have to come out of this deep place. But it's not a deep place of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, do the right thing. It's a deep place of knowing him, trusting him, and saying, I am so dependent on you. I honestly think, and it's not us, I've just lately, the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I've been reasonably depressed about the way that I hear some Christians say stuff and behave and whatever. You know, there's just a bunch of stuff there. That's okay. Well, it's not okay, but I'm not going to start making political statements here. But what Kelly said to me just recently, Kelly's only just got back, was, yeah, but not West City. And I went, now, if you're here for the first time, it's not an ad. But I thought, that's true. So nice. It's so nice. We can all be sitting here on different sides of different equations, but all of us are convinced that we're dependent on God entirely, that we can do this together, that we can even disagree, and that's okay. You know, it's unusual. It's unusual, but it doesn't need this kind of posture all the time. But Jesus was so clear about it that we need to have this way of being which is relentlessly towards God on the knees as a way of living, not as a, oh, go sit on your knees for 4 hours each month and read these many scriptures and do this much stuff and then you're going to be more spiritual. My experience, honest to goodness, my experience is that that isn't the case. 30 odd years now as a Christian. When I became a Christian, within a week, I started doing the Worldwide School of Prayer. It was 12, those of you who are old enough. It was hard sometimes because as we looked out the wagons towards the hills, it was this 12 areas of prayer. And it was absolutely awesome, right? Because it got me going. It got me going. So don't think for a minute I'm having a go at processes. I'm not. I think it was awesome. But what was inscribed within it was that I'm not generating this. This is not self-generated. This is this partnership between an awesome God and a very ordinary human like all of us. And if we can put our hands in his hand, if we can recognize how dependent we are on him, then we can go deeper. Because then we don't have limits, right? If we're maintaining our own limits, will just go so far. But if we're opening up and saying, I'm completely dependent on a God who is absolutely limitless, then there's places to go. Then there's places to go deep. But yeah, absolutely. Okay, final couple of thoughts. I want to read a scripture out. It's three slides. Okay, my apologies. I know it's just almost too much. Sorry? Is it all right? Well, I'm okay with it. I'm going to read it anyway. God, you are my God. Well, I found it myself. I found it myself in the scripture. God, you are my God. I seek you eagerly with a heart that thirsts for you and a body wasted with longing for you like a dry land, parched and devoid of water. With such longing, I see you in the sanctuary and behold your power and glory. Who wrote this? David, exactly, yeah. Awesome. All right, next slide. Your unfailing love is better than, excuse me, than life. Therefore, I shall sing your praises. Thus, all my life, I bless you in your name. I lift my hands in prayer. I'm satisfied as with a rich feast, and there is a shout of praise on my lips. I call you to mind on my bed and meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help, and I am safe. In the shadow of your wings, I follow you closely, and your right hand upholds me. Your right hand upholds me. You'll notice, as with so many psalms, that it's gritty reality, right? Starts off, this is how things are. This is how things are. And then somewhere through that narrative, there is your God. In other words, your God, I'm not. So yeah, this is how it is for me, but there's potential here because I'm not just me. I'm not just me. I am now relying on you. And then you'll notice always that the psalm starts to change. This isn't some positive confession, you know, mind meld, you know, let's do, what do you call it? John's talking about it last week, but not from the same perspective. What is it? You know, the mind thing everybody's doing it at the moment. Mindfulness. Okay, this isn't some secular mindfulness. Well, I'm not having to go. There's great stuff out there. I'm just saying it's not that. That's not what this is. This is this idea of saying I'm bowing my knee now. It's an act of my will to do so because I am not God. Here is how things really are, God. But you're God. And so I can start to see things. It opens a door that we can go deeper in. So if I was critiquing something this morning, and I sure as heck don't want to spend my time on it at all, it would be the idea that we're self-sufficient, that's all. Just that idea. That idea that's lived, though. I know we all say, oh, no, that's not true. Oh, no, I'm not self-sufficient. No, 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 I'm a Christian. I follow God. But then we go live self-sufficient. So we have to cultivate this way of living. That's what the disciplines are actually about. The disciplines are not a set of disciplines so that I can be disciplined. Right? No. That's not what it's about. That's not what they're about. They're about practices that will allow you to put God where he should be. That will give you the opportunity to allow God to deepen you and your faith. So finally and simply then, walk. Because what I've noticed in my own life is that I think a lot and I sometimes don't do much, right? So, you know, I remember years ago I was listening to a professor and the professor said, you know, are you one of the new radicals? And I wanted to put my hand up, right? Yeah, that's me. I'm one of the new radicals. He said, you know, the new radicals. He was a Canadian Indian guy. He was awesome, very smart and passionate. And I thought, I want to be one of the new radicals. He said, you know, the ones that want to take over the English department rather than the country. In other words, the ones that want to talk a lot and think a lot, but don't want to do much, right? Don't want to actually get out there and do it. So what am I saying by that? Is I'm saying, as well as there is this stance that Robin Meyer talks about, which I think is just awesome, the stance that we all are called to have, then with that comes a walking it out, a walk, a daily walk. A tomorrow morning when I need to take my son to school walk, a cooking dinner walk, going to uni walk, not something that has the facade of deep spirituality, but something that actually is deep spirituality, which is when I just walk. I just walk. See, the presence of Christ is either the presence of Christ or it isn't. And what I get to do as a follower of Christ is to allow him to be Christ. And not for me to try to be him, but for me to bow my knee to him and to live out of that. And as I walk, then I find he corrects me. Enough. Enough, I said. That's good. I just want to make it good, Kel, because he said really nice things about me last time I spoke. You weren't here. Yeah. You could get the podcast, of course. Yeah, sorry. So, Father, we do offer ourselves to you. We want the depth. We want to be deep Christians, deep-spirited, deep-hearted. We want that. But it can be really hard. Help us over this period of time to refocus our attention on the things that are really important, so that in the words of that old song, that the things of the world will become strangely dim in the light of your glory and your grace. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.